Hey everybody, it's Godfrey here. If you are listening to any Split Zone Duo product, and it is between April 15th and April 19th, Monday, April 15th, Friday, April 19th, the year of our Lord 2024, stop what you're doing, hit pause. We need your money again. I want you to go support the 2024 Charity Bowl. All right. So the New American Pathways charity, some of you guys instantly know what I'm talking about. If you don't, just hang tight. I'm going to help you out. The New American Pathways charity. This is started by Every Day Should Be Saturday. So that's Spencer Hall and Holly Anderson, but I'm talking about our whole sort of extended universe that gets in on this. So if you're a Channel 6 fan, if you're a Shutdown Fullcast fan, Split Zone Duo, Vacation Bible School, I'm probably leaving somebody out. This is the time of year we sort of all come together and we give money to a really, really good cause. And we do it by being really, really spiteful, usually by incorporating wonderful college football scores into the dollar amounts that we donate. Great example, classic example. Remember when West Virginia scored 70 points against not yet really, you know, like national title caliber Clemson, but I don't want to take anything away from that wonderful moment in Dana Holgorsen. 70-33, you can make a $70.33 donation if you are a Mountaineer fan. You know, by all means, do whatever you want. Go through there, create a dollar figure that in somehow, way, shape, or form makes you feel good as a college football fan. If you want to give money and compete to elevate your school, so if you're a Texas A&M fan or you're a Southern Cal fan, a Vanderbilt fan, it doesn't matter. There's a drop down for your school. There's also small schools too, by the way. It's not just an FBS thing, guys. If you want to donate under Split Zone Duo, we just did that. Myself, Alex, and Richard, we threw $1,000 into the pot. We want you guys to do the same. Donate what you can. The way to find the link right now, if you're listening, visit any of our social feeds. You can go to Channel 6. You can go to Spencer's page. Every Day Should Be Saturday. Any stuff on any social media, there's going to be a link to New American Pathways. You can also visit their website, newamericanpathways.org. Find the splash page. I trust that you can do it. I'm not going to read out the crazy long URL here, okay? You can also donate via mobile. You can text Charity Bowl 24 to 91999 if it's after Monday, which if we did this right, it's after Monday. Okay, last thing. If you don't know, what is New American Pathways? They support refugee families that are resettled in America from the day that they arrive in our country. So as soon as they touch the airport until the day that they take their citizenship exams. This is a huge task. It involves a range of needs and skill sets. It's everything from locating and maintaining safe housing, getting children enrolled in local schools, job training, language classes, legal aid, after-school programs. This is a massive undertaking to ensure that people achieve the American dream that all of us probably take for granted because we're usually busy screaming at each other about college football on the internet. Just, you know, it's kind of a thing that we do. So, New American Pathways, you can find them on Facebook. You can find them on Instagram. Please go give money. Please. Last year's donation, I believe last year it says the initial tally here, I'm reading some notes that Holly sent over, combined with the matching corporate donations, $933,000. That's really close to a million. And I know Holly and I know her sort of, let's call it like a need to sort of expand the empire here, manifest destiny. Let's make that a million this year, okay? Also, if you love Michigan, you know all about this charity. Michigan always wins, it feels like. If you don't love Michigan, good opportunity here to, you know, donate them out of the top spot. I don't even have a Connor Stallions joke here. Just if you want to give money to preserve the Michigan dynasty or destroy it, you should be incentivized in the worst possible way to help one of the best charities possible. And is that not the purpose of college football internet? New American Pathways, New American Pathways, New American Pathways.
We're coming, and we ain't backing down.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror.
Everybody just do your job. Understand that?
Hey, will you shut up?
I'm bitterly disappointed with the officiating today.
Guys being dudes.
And they run through our like through a tin horn, man.
I think I'm gonna grow the beard out to the baby is born for a couple months, just to see what it looks like.
Yeah, just to see what. Yeah, you got
awful it will appear.
No, you got to test the dad vibes. I think that's important. No.
We're leaving that in. Ben Solak, Derek Klassen. Ben Solak of The Ringer, Derek Klassen, free agent, and also of Bleacher Report, et cetera, et cetera. Ben, future father to be. Ben, congratulations in advance. How are we feeling in advance of the big day?
Great, good, terrified, bad, a little hungry, a little worried, a little scared. I mean, everything. It's not like it's the sort of thing you prepare for, and then when you get close to it, you're like, oh, I'm not prepared, and I'll never be prepared. So, what was the last 6 months for? We'll figure this out as we go. So I think as an expectant father, you kind of become whatever like your expectant mother needs. And my wife is just like preparing everything, trying to figure everything out, trying to like down to the minute, down to the second, all the gears correct, everything is ready. So I've just taken on the role of being like, the child will arrive and it will be, you kind of have to be like the opposite, but equal force. And so that's, I've taken on a very Zen approach to baby preparedness. We're about a month out. So I got the draft and then I'm off, baby.
All right. Well, Derek and I do not have anything remotely as important coming up in our lives.
You're moving. Very exciting. Soon.
I'm moving. Yes, that is very nice. I'm excited for that. Staying in Brooklyn for those who are in the area. But as usual, I have my good friends Ben and Derek on to talk quarterbacks, this quarterback class. This is my favorite show of the season, bar none. I love talking with you guys about these prospects. And whenever we get together, this is, I believe, the fourth time that we've done this, the fourth annual. And so for new subscribers and folks who are new to the QB tier preview, we don't start with this year's prospect. We start with a certain prospect who was drafted a few years ago by a very, very dumb and bad professional football franchise. Of course, it is the annual Trevor Lawrence review for vanity purposes. The vanity is, of course, mine. Ben Solak, the floor is yours. My professional football team has taken the unique approach of saying, what if we had a generational quarterback prospect and we took away the things we gave him in order to help him to, if anything, increase the difficulty level that he will have to be up against to lead this football team to the playoffs and hopefully the Super Bowl? What is Trent Baalke doing? Am I getting a wide receiver? Will they trade up? What is going on?
Nothing. Maybe. Should I answer those three questions in that order? Trev right now is he's the litmus test for if you're watching ball or not. Like, I think that it was Justin Herbert a year or so, maybe 2 years ago, and now it's Trevor. Or anybody who's like, man, Lawrence, what a disappointment. First overall pick, not what he was billed as, not good enough. Like, oh, okay, so you're just not watching Jags football then. Because Lawrence is a team on his back, Superman cape on every single play, right? And they run an offense that has a high degree of difficulty, right? They don't put any of the training wheels on.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they don't put any of the training wheels on with the motion and with the, you know, the play action stuff. Like, they're running just like so much traditional West Coast, asking Trev to read it out. And then obviously, like, pass catching perspective, they have so many guys who are NFLers. Like, they are good. Like, Christian Kirk is good. Evan Ingram is good. Calvin Ridley is good. Altogether, it's just like, oh man, this is not what you want the full picture to look like. And obviously they lose Ridley and bring in Gabe Davis, who just is a Trent Baalke receiver through and through, right? Just, yeah, the 10 best plays are good. What about the other 990? It is it's such an inconsistent and high difficulty group, both schematically and personnel wise, around Trevor, who just is trying his darndest to make every single play work, and accordingly some of the worst sacks you've seen, the worst pick you've seen. But I'm confident Trevor is good. It's everything around him that I think you attribute some of the Jag struggles to.
Derek, have you watched many of the wide receivers? Obviously, we're talking about quarters, but have you watched many of the wide receivers in this draft class?
Yes, I've scouted for Bleacher Report like too many to count. All right, many that I'm comfortable with.
Eric Galco came on this very show last week and told me that Brian Thomas is better than Malik Nabers, has a better ceiling than Malik Nabers, is a better prospect. Your thoughts on that as someone who, right around pick 17, may be making his personal decision about Brian Thomas and the efficacy of him as a professional football player?
It depends on the position at receiver that you're playing. Okay. Like, Malik Nabers is not a traditional X wide receiver. That's the thing. That's I think, the difference. Like, I think, because Nabers is propped up into this like top five prospect, you know, almost as good as Marvin Harrison Jr., all that stuff, I think people just automatically assume that means he's an X receiver. He's not. He's like a slot Z hybrid. Like, he almost gets used more like Amari Cooper or something.
Jalen Waddle.
Which is obviously, yes, like a Jalen Waddle, which obviously that can still be an effective, incredibly effective receiver that can still be your top target getter. But in terms of like X receiver, put him outside the numbers. He's our vertical guy. He's our ball winner. That was Brian Thomas at LSU. And obviously in terms of like his route tree, he didn't run a very full route tree at LSU. And I think you saw, especially early in the season, he was a little bit clunky getting in and out of some of his routes. I think he got a lot better towards the end of the season. I think especially when you look at his explosive profile for like for his size, I think the untapped potential there in terms of his route running ability is insane. And I have a good amount of faith that he can, you know, maybe he's never going to be like a super all pro type, but like, I think he can get even better than he is. So I don't have him graded better than Neighbors, but if you want like a true X receiver on the outside, which I think would be nice for this offense, Brian Thomas at 17 is all good with me. I think that's right around where we have him on our big board anyway. So I'm all for it.
Brian, welcome to Jacksonville, my friend. Yeah. I've heard enough. I've seen enough.
You want to talk yourself into
can I say
you want to talk yourself into Brian Thomas? Put on the Ole Miss film, and then put on the Ole Miss film again, and then put on the Ole Miss game a third time, and here we go.
Yes. So, yeah, can I say something about the bulky point?
Took things over. Yeah.
About the bulky point, Bleacher Report asked us for like this article that we're writing, and one of the things was like, you know, biggest just off the wall prediction. I said that the Jags are probably going to take AD Mitchell over Brian Thomas Jr. Because that's just the kind of dumb thing that they
would
do.
What if Brian Thomas Jr. was just less consistent? Just like similar yeah,
what
grade.
If Brian, what if Brian Thomas was just less good?
Oh my God, I'm in hell every Sunday. This fucking team. I find the Trevor experience is interesting to me because it's like we have spent the last almost decade, I feel like, talking about the golden ticket to a Super Bowl is a rookie contract with, you know, a rookie contract quarterback who can play within the confines of the CBA. You maximize that window and you go win a championship because you load up everywhere else. Yes, it's easier said than done, but that's kind of the archetype. It's like the Jaguars don't believe that. It's like the Jaguars are like, we'll take our time. They have operated like they are one piece away, basically since they fired Urban Meyer, and they now are more pieces away, in my opinion, at least on offense, because they didn't get the Calvin Ridley thing figured out.
I think they kind of understood the rookie contract, you know, idea of rookie contract quarterback, we're going to go all out. But like their idea of all out was so warped and bad at basically every turn. They were like, we'll draft a first round running back because we have the flexibility to do that now. And then they take Travis Etienne, who is like not a true workhorse the way that, you know, a Bijan Robinson can be. They go try to get their number one receiver in Calvin Ridley. Okay, he can't play the first year. And then the second, like they only have him for 1 year and then they don't want to immediately pay him. Christian Kirk, like they go shell out a bunch of money for him. Cool. He's a nice player. He's also like slot only and he can't be your number one. So like they just made all of these moves that were like, hey, they're trying to do something, but they're getting all these like weird niche players that can't really be like superstars in their offense. And then even if they get a guy like Calvin Ridley, they don't want to immediately extend him. Like they just, everything they did was like super short-sighted.
Yeah. The Calvin Ridley trade with like the conditions on the pick. It's such like a we're a really smart front office thing. But then it's like a hey, like yes. You guys need to prove you can win a playoff game. You don't have a wide receiver one. So actually like, he has you up against like you thought you had him. No, he's got you up like, you know, to the screws. Like it Bulky's been doing this for long enough that the league knows about Trent, right? Like the league feels like they can like get him on deals and like if he prices them out on a free agent, they're fine to lose to him. Like he's the GMing is all like politics, and people know about Trent Baalke. That you're not gonna dig your way out of that hole.
I hate it here seeing the Super Bowl. All right, 2023 tier review very, very quickly. A lot of the quarterbacks that we talked about last year didn't see the field. I mean, I was looking at a Google Doc from last year that had Hendon Hooker on it.
That's your fault. That's, all right, not our fault. That's your college people making us do that. Derek and I would have never.
Yeah, we would have never even, entertained that.
So yeah, that's how last year's guys went. But of the ones that played, one of whom, very very surprised to be talking about on this show, Aiden O'Connell. Mm-hmm. Okay, we gave it a little lip service last year. The Raiders seem to think that they're going to continue to lie to us all offseason and tell us that they really are going to do the Aiden O'Connell thing in 2024. I don't think either of the three of us believe that, but the Raiders continue to say it, so let's entertain it. What was the Aiden O'Connell experience for you guys at the back half of last season, and what do you think it could be in 2024?
Well, he's just...